now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ella Watts. And today on the show, Zero Tolerance.
Helping to make Bristol a city free from gender-based issues.
And Little Harriet at One.
Steph's been catching up with Sam and Sian. Now Harriet has turned one. All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Good evening, Mr. Shilton.
Very warm welcome to our new home.
I'm really pleased to be here, and I also think that we should get like a home sweet home mat or something to put in the studio, you know, just to put in the finishing touches.
If you are listening on other stations, it's not them that's affected. BCFM, as you probably heard us say last week, moved. And God, did it nearly kill me. But we got there.
They like to work you quite hard, don't they?
Yeah, I'm afraid of heights, and I hang all the transmission kit on the side of the building, which was
horrible. So's the station manager.
No, he didn't. No, he just went up about three rungs and took a photo.
He's scared as well, isn't he?
Oh, yes, yeah, I know, yeah.
Should we be exposing him like this? I'm not sure we should be taking him out.
We've been bickering on Facebook all week, it's fine. I mean, I heard him on the One Love Breakfast show this morning going on about how he'd been up the ladder and put it all on. I was like, you cheeky sod. You didn't? You wouldn't do it. I had to do it.
I feel like we need photos or it didn't happen. And also I'm enjoying that this is becoming our moon landing conspiracy.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. There are actually photos up. I think they're on BCFM's page.
Okay, so everyone can go check it out if you want to get some beautiful candid photos of our main presenter, Andy Shilton.
Yes. Why nice is somebody picture of my bottom halfway up a ladder.
That's not attractive. Let's talk food.
Food?
Yeah, somebody's put a pile of cakes in front of me.
Oh, yeah, that's because certain someone's leaving her.
Oh, yes.
Can I smell them?
It's Ella's last show with us. You're going to kind of be roving reporter while you're over in London, aren't you?
I am. I was going to say, we can hold off the tiny violins playing in the background. You know, sad music.
Oh, this is smaller than that, Ella.
Steffi, you ruined me. But yes, I am abandoning Shout Out Live, at least, for a little whilst they study in London. But yes, I will also be sending the occasional correspondence by mail.
Cool. Well, you know, I don't think you're hopefully not leaving us forever. I have a funny feeling someone professional is going to snap you up before we get a chance to have you back. But hopefully you might be back at some point.
I intend to return.
So you do know that my other half is going to be devastated that he can't hear your voice on the radio.
Do you know what? I'm still overwhelmed by the idea that I have a fan, to be honest.
You have a real big fan, I can promise you. So.
But I would like to send my love to him, and don't worry, I will be back somewhere. I will be back on the airwaves.
Marvellous. So I have a feeling we're going to hear you on a commercial station at some point.
Oh, you're making me blush. I feel like I'm on a bound to let the listeners know when that happens,
Andy,
because they have no way of knowing.
I don't think she's going
to
slum it on a commercial station. She's going to be on the Beeb.
On the Beeb. But BBC One's new, Radio One's new breakfast presenter.
To be fair, next job I apply to, I'm just going to play a clip from this show, just say, hey, listen, you know, these people think I'm great.
We're not biased at all.
No, obviously. I didn't pay you with baked goods. We haven't mentioned that. It's not on the record.
Just paying us with cakes.
So. But yeah, what do we all think of the new studio? Now we've moved to Eastern Community Centre, in case you weren't aware. It's all, you should have seen it looked like a really old office before, and it's all nice and carpeted walls now and the like, isn't it?
It's like a posh old office now.
Yeah, we have glass brick
windows. I love glass bricks. I just love that.
And you can do the old play school through the round window as well.
Exactly.
I do like the round window.
And they can steer in as well.
So. You know what I was going to say? I'm looking forward to doing the Saturday edition because there are other shows. But on Saturday morning, just because there's this beautiful big round window with a sun and kind of an ocean in wire or like iron put underneath it. And that's going to look awesome first thing in the morning when you've got that kind of honey like pink light coming in.
Ooh,
that's going to be quite pretty.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whether it hits that window first thing or whether it hits this. I think it goes across
Can I just say I've just seen a red light that's lit on the side of the wall?
Oh, yes.
Does that mean we've got to shut up?
Yeah, no, that's the on-air light.
Keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really confusing Pat because he kept leaving the levels up and didn't realise, so we had to put something up to keep him sane. So it's amazing. It's just a red light. If you've never seen our studio, should we take a photo and put it up on like Facebook, like, so people can see? But
I thought it's that we had somebody for sale.
No, it says on air.
From the red light district.
But when you don't have it, you realise how much you rely on it, and you really do rely on it.
I kept my red 6-inch stilettos in my handbag as well, just in case.
Do you know what? I left mine at home. I should have brought them with me.
Oh, you do have a pair as well.
That our listeners would appreciate them. I'm just saying.
You are dangerous in those, girl.
Anyway.
I'm dangerous because I'm falling.
Is it the two of you doing events?
You like.
I don't know. You tell me. Who's got events?
We've both got events.
We've both got events. Okay, here we go. So it was supposed to be our lovely duo, wasn't it?
Lara and Tara.
It doesn't quite sound the same when you say Tara and Steph.
No, do you want me not to do it? And then you can just say Tara on her own.
I was going to say, way to make her feel loved, Andy.
Come on.
Can we just call you Lara for a bit?
It's part of the furniture.
You call me Mara. That'll do, won't it? Tara and Mara.
I mean, Sarah would be closer.
Sarah,
okay.
It's probably the nicer end of what you've called me in the past.
So shall we get on with some events?
Yeah, go on.
So anyway, it's not technically LGBT, but I think it's really important. It's sort of thing I really enjoy. So Bristol Open Doors is all this week.
Oh, yes.
From today until Sunday. And for me, that's really getting to go and see.
They've got a huge booklet this year, haven't they?
Have you seen it? So what you need to do is you need to go and head to the Architecture Centre, which is 16 Narrow Quays in Bristol, which is across from the Perrose Bridge.
Oh yeah.
And in there you will get, that's a central hub for the whole event. So if you go in there, you can find out all the information you like. It's a good central point in Bristol to actually start the whole process. Yeah, and I like that building as well. And then you've got, you can go and see the Canopy in the Stars and the crane that's been just done.
There's also, and you can do the Clifton Railway.
M-Shed, Light Vessel.
Are they doing the
55.
Caves again this year?
Redcliffe Caves are always there, so you can go and see where they used to store all the stuff. And, you know, because it's always locked up. You can always see the entrance, but you don't often get inside. So it's where they used to store alcohol and tobacco and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's the Perry's Boathouse, St. Mary Redcliffe Church. And some of these you've got to book online in advance to actually go and get the full experience, because they'll do a proper tour and explain the architecture and all the rest of it.
But you know what I will say, even if it's not LGBT plus specific, I'm just going to go ahead and give myself this title, as the resident LGBT plus historian, I would like to promise our listeners that, like, at least one of the places you're going to go, and probably many, many more than one, are going to have some element of LGBT plus history. And they might not know it, they might not be advertising it, but you can always check out, for example, mapping Bristol's...
Outstories, which is an overlay on Google Maps, isn't it?
It's something they did with the council as well.
Yeah, there's lots of things there. You can actually overlay the World War II bombs as sites as well.
Oh, wow.
So there's lots of...
We keep finding stuff like that, don't we?
Yeah.
And they've closed a few places recently because they found World War II stuff.
So that's
a week.
Yeah, so there's Bristol City Hall, Vegetable City Hall, Trinidad Bank, which I think we've got. It's a new architecture. Go and see something slightly new. I think it's just fantastic.
I like the old stuff, you see.
Yeah, Jacob Wells Road, Bath, the Georgian House Museum, just anything there. Avery's Wine Bar. I mean, who doesn't want to go to the wine bar?
Well, that's slightly different, though.
But it's a perfect excuse, doing it for history.
Cool.
So, yeah, lots to choose from. Go to the website, which is bristoldoorsopenday.org.uk.
Cool. Steffi?
Right, if you're looking forward to the 31st of October and all the hauntings that go on, there's a special show at OMG. Now, they're performing at Plymouth, Sheffield and Bristol, but at Bristol they're on the 31st of October, Raja and Max.
Oh, that means something to
us. Yeah, it does. Obviously, it means something to us. There was a sharp intake of breath.
Sorry, continue. But I think I might know which Raja you're talking about. And if I do,
RuPaul's Drag Race. So, Max Malanathy, known simply as Max during Time with RuPaul's Drag, from Hudson, Wisconsin. She was in season 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And Raja or Raja Gemini, stage name Sutan Amrul, an Asian American makeup artist and drag performer. Amrul is best known for his work on the reality TV show America's Next Top Model, as well as being the winner of season 3 RuPaul's Drag Race. That, what I find odd about that is one of the drag queens wants to be known as he and the other one is she.
One of the beautiful
saying,
that's their choice.
It is their choice, but usually drag queens always say they're just in drag.
That's not drag queens.
Oh, trust me, I know a few male queens.
Normally,
really? Shock horror moment, Andy.
I think the general courtesy is if you're referring to the drag artist by their stage name, which you were with Max, then it's she. And then if you're referring to them by their not stage name, in terms of you started with Raja's like career as a professional makeup artist, then you would refer to him as he when he's not, when he's a professional makeup artist, not when he's a queen.
I need to put you in my handbag and just get you out when necessary to make
we are going to miss it, aren't we? Those little tidbits of info.
Yes.
Where's Ella when you need her?
Ella PDN.
Oh, she's in London. Okay.
Yes. Speaking of tidbits of info, because
hang on. Oh. Can I just let them know tickets are available on Skiddle?
Skiddle.
I've never heard
what
of it. Skiddle.com.
Wait, how much are the tickets? I know Skiddle.
It doesn't say how much the tickets are.
Okay.
It doesn't.
It'll be a surprise.
Yes, it will when you go on Skiddle, and I haven't been on Skiddle.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm going to check it out because I love Raja. Oh my God, so much.
You're in London.
Raja basically made season 3. I might just come back.
You know, so you think you get rid of someone and they come back. She's going to be like a boomerang.
Cool.
I will say, any RuPaul fans that recently, my girlfriend met Sasha Velour, who is the latest winner of the Drag Race, and apparently her favourite novel is Orlando, which people interested in like gender binaries and identities and drag performance might find really nice. I thought it was really nice.
Mm. Cool.
Just fun fact.
Well, thank you very much, both.
Thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I haven't played that one in ages. It kind of had to be done.
I really like it.
Do you? It's a really weird, funky track. It's called I'm an Albatross. Don't ask me what an albatross is. But it's by Aaron Chuper. So, as you probably heard, that was the radio edit. It's bleeped.
Much of the bleeping. I'm slightly worried for our beautiful guests in the studio. One of our news editors, Ivan, I think might still have a problem with me for encouraging Andy to play music that not everyone necessarily enjoys. I'm thinking mostly of pentatonics.
Oh, I haven't played pentatonics in ages.
We should play some more pentatonics.
I nearly put one in this week, so I'll put one in for you for next week.
Aww.
So just for you, there
make
you go.
Make me feel special.
Anyway, we ought to introduce our guests. So this is our last show. Do you want to take the lead?
Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay, so everybody, we have two guests in today from Bristol Zero Tolerance. On my left, not that it matters much to our listeners, is Kit. Hello, Kit.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. And Kit, you've been recently doing some research and developing a workshop, is that right?
Yes, that is.
Brilliant. And then to our right, again, not that that matters to the listeners, is Charlotte. And Charlotte, you're here just generally from Bristol Zero Tolerance, but to talk about a campaign you're running right now, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Talk about that now before we talk about the workshop?
Please.
Okay, great. So for those who don't know, Bristol Zero Tolerance is a project which works across the city looking at all forms of gender-based violence, abuse, harassment and exploitation. And at the moment we're particularly looking at working on sexual assault in venues and also on street harassment.
Right.
So street harassment is an issue that I think impacts on a lot of different communities across the city. And so what we want to do is gather information about those experiences from as many people as possible. So it'd be great if your listeners don't know about the project already to have a look for the Bristol Street Harassment Project either on our website or on Facebook and to get involved. And there's various different things that they can do to get involved. There's a survey that they can fill out which has information on where it happened, what happened, particular stories, information on who they are as well, so we can find out who it's happening to and where and why. And then there's also a way that they can map the incidents. So there's an online map that they can put a pinpoint and say what happened and tell their story that way as well. And basically we're hoping that by people sharing their stories, it can empower people to let them know that they're not alone and that these things do happen to other people, but also to let them know that it's not acceptable, and for those who are perpetrating that kind of street harassment, that it's not acceptable behaviour. And ultimately, as a city, we want to be a zero tolerance city to those kind of behaviours, and to change attitudes and behaviours so that people respect each other and behave appropriately to each other.
And that is really, really awesome. I guess what I'm especially interested in is your emphasis on this issue of reporting. I'm sure you're aware that The Independent, for example, recently ran a story, just a random newspaper, there are other newspapers available, about how hate crime has drastically increased. But in addition to our problems with hate crime towards the LGBT plus community increasing, there's a problem that a lot of people, especially people under 25, aren't reporting that crime because they don't trust authorities to take them seriously.
Stonewall have just released a whole load of statistics about it, haven't they? And it was staggering how many people still experience homophobia and transphobia, biphobia, etc. And we are terrible at reporting it. Now, we know reporting is going up, but not nearly enough by the sounds of it.
Kit, I understand that you've been doing research recently, and I'm just interested to know, is that, I know that the Southwest isn't as bad, for example, as the Northeast, according to Stonewall's survey, but is that something that you're seeing or that you've been looking at in our area? Are people not reporting hate crimes?
I've been looking at the Gallup report on LGBT hate crime and the Diversity Trust report that both came out in 2016. The general statistics are three quarters of LGBT people have experienced hate crime, and only a quarter of those people actually report it, which you do some maths and work out what percentage of the LGBT population actually report the hate crime. It's ridiculous. Like, so many people are still experiencing homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia, and yet the reporting rates are so low. And looking at the barriers that are stopping people reporting is really important to make sure that groups are accessible for people to get the help and report.
Can I ask what kind of things you've found so far? Is there anything that's kind of standing out as...
Those statistics are the ones that stood out the most, I think, that people aren't reporting, and especially young people. And the fact, just the fact that three quarters of the LGBT people population are still experiencing hate crime, like, that was the one that really shocked me. Like, that's a lot of people.
May I ask, because it has to be asked, because again, this was something that was emphasised in the Stonewall report, have you at all been looking at the relationship between the LGBT plus community and the police? Because the Stonewall report said a lot of LGBT plus people, rightly or wrongly, were saying that they felt that they weren't taken seriously by the police if they reported harassment. Is that something that you've encountered? Is that something you'd like to talk about?
There was a really interesting incident at Glasgow Pride. So alongside Glasgow Pride, there's Free Pride, which is more of a protest. And there were five people arrested for standing up against the police being at Pride. And I feel like incidents like that are what put LGBT people off reporting to the police, because there are still incidents like that occurring. And, you know, that puts people off. And I think the relationship that the police have always had with the LGBT community is still kind of iffy. And, yeah, they're at Pride and they're wearing rainbows, but that doesn't mean that they're as approachable as they could be.
Right, and actually, so this reminds me of during Bristol Pride, there was a protest held by, I think, Bristol University Students' Union, where they read out the names of trans people killed by the police, mostly in America, which kind of makes me think of two things, but I guess the most relevant one here is that, police brutality being one, but the other one being that I know that trans and non-binary people, for example, are reporting disproportionately high levels of both gender-based and LGBT plus kind of focused violence.
Yeah.
Charlotte, I'm interested if Bristol Zero Tolerance, because for me as an outsider, honestly, a lot of it that I was aware of was about women's issues. So I'm interested to know whether you guys are also representing non-binary people and trans people who might be experiencing this kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. We're not a women-only project, although we sit within Bristol Women's Voice, which is a women-only organisation, because we're aware that gender-based violence impacts on anybody and can impact on anybody. We want to work with people across Bristol from lots of different communities with lots of different identities, because that's really important to raise those issues, particularly in communities such as LGBT plus communities, where it is hidden and it's not talked about and it's not reported because of the barriers that we've been talking about in terms of police, but also also the services not being available with specific understandings and specialisms around LGBT plus people's needs. So that's what we want to talk to people about in Bristol, really. We want to find out what are the issues and barriers to them reporting or to them accessing services or to them even seeking any kind of support if they're experiencing gender-based violence, and what can we do to then help to make that better for people living in Bristol.
Awesome. And okay, so I'm hoping that people listening are inspired to at least like learn more, maybe even like report stuff, certainly get involved in this campaign. But Kit, I'm aware that you are also doing something if people really want to go full on and educate themselves. Tell me about this workshop.
So yeah, I've been an intern with Bristol Zero Tolerance over the summer, and my main kind of job was to plan out a workshop that LGBT groups or people in schools could get involved with. So we won't just be talking at you. There's going to be a lot of involvement, some brainstorming over what's going to be going on with Bristol Zero Tolerance in the future, how we can be more accessible, how Bristol can become a zero tolerance city, not just to gender-based violence, but to LGBT hate crime. So it's probably going to be about 45 minutes long, the workshop, and I think it's pretty interesting. I've worked quite hard on it.
But if I'm a teacher listening, or I run a young person's group or something, and I'm like, oh my god, yes, I need to talk to this person, please. How do I get in touch with you? How do I organize that? Where can I find out more?
Shall I answer that?
Yes.
Okay, so all our details are Bristol Zero Tolerance, which you can Google, and we're the first thing that comes up. That's our website. If you want to book the workshop in, then if you email me, then I can work with Kit to get a date in the diary for you. So my email is charlotte@bristolwomensvoice.com. Is it? No, .org.uk. we're also on Twitter at BristolZT and on Facebook as well, Bristol Zero Tolerance. So there are lots of different ways that you can find us and get in touch with us if you're interested in booking in the workshop.
Awesome. Last question about your campaign that you're currently running. Okay, I want to get involved. I want to do the survey. That sounds like a really worthwhile cause. If I want to tell my friends about it, is there a hashtag I could be using, or should I be tagging you? What should I be doing to spread the word?
Well, all the information is on our website. So the best thing to do is to go on our website, and under the Take Action section, there's a whole section that has information about the Bristol Street Harassment Project. And that's got links to the online map, to the survey, which is an anonymous survey, by the way, and doesn't go to the police. So that is another way to capture information without it going to the police. And we also have some materials which we've been developing for people as well, leaflets on like safe ways to respond to harassers, what to do if you're a bystander, and some information on ways that you can report to the police, which also can be anonymous. So there are lots of different information there about street harassment and what you can do and how you can get involved.
Cool. So bristolzerotolerance.com. yeah,
that's right.
Brilliant.
Get clicking.
Well, lovely. It's been lovely to catch up with you, and you must come back and tell us some of your findings when they come, and it'd be lovely to find out the results.
Absolutely. So during Hate Crime Awareness Week in October, we'll be releasing the results of the survey and the information that we've been gathering, and showing some short films with people's stories as well.
Oh, marvellous. Cool. Well, make sure we catch up with you so that we can let the listeners know what comes of it. But thank you very much for joining us for now.
Thank you for having us.
So stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Avicii and The Nights. Yeah, I love Avicii.
I also like Avicii. Yeah. I have a feeling that our music tastes are
quite
similar.
Yeah. I wasn't so keen on the last album, but that was one of my favourites, that one, The Nights. So, and I loved the one that ended up being made into Clyde by Leona Lewis. That was originally an Avicii song.
I'm impressed, and I feel like I should know more. I feel like I'm doing shame.
Oh my god, am I out younging you?
I think you are.
Gosh. Wow. It's all right. We just mentioned history. You'll beat me on that, won't you? So, and hello, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Fine, thank you.
This is definitely at least your second time reading the news in this studio, because I was listening to you this morning.
And I've got a third one tomorrow morning as well.
Have you? Lovely. So are you liking it, though?
Has it
got enough room for your laptop and everything?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it's very good. And I'm even liking this pile of boxes next to me, which appear to be full of cakes.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, we haven't actually opened them. We're not supposed to
in
the
here,
studio.
No, but
I'm not
going
to let you do that.
So, anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Indeed.
The
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 7th of September.
Prominent Jamaican fashion designer and LGBT activist Dexter Pottinger was found stabbed to death in his own home last Thursday. A man in his 20s has since been arrested and charged with his murder. Sources allege the man was acquainted with Dexter and was himself a member of the LGBT community. Mr. Pottinger became the face of Pride Week in 2016 in celebrations organised by the Jamaica Forum of Lesbians, All Sexuals and Gays, JFLAG. Jamaican national and award-winning broadcaster Primrose Granville, based here in Bristol, was acquainted with Dexter, and the investigation into Dexter Pottinger's death continues.
The Keynsham-based small newspaper The Week In says that witnesses are appealed for after a gay man was abused and assaulted in North Common. Two men were walking in Cloverley Road on Thursday the 17th of August when they were followed by a group of teens between the ages of 12 and 17. The teenagers shouted homophobic abuse at the two men and one of them punched one of the men. Now, the boy responsible for this assault is described as aged about 15, 5'5" high, of medium build and has dark hair. He was wearing a black trousers and a white t-shirt. Police are seeking any information about this attack and can be called on 101, or you can contact the charity Crime Stoppers.
Bristol's lively anarchist scene will be convening next weekend on Saturday the 16th of September for the annual Anarchist Book Fair, this year taking place at St. Werburgh's Community Centre on Hawley Road. Many LGBT groups have been organised along anarchist-like principles, including the Gay Liberation Front, Lesbian Avengers and ACT UP. As a consequence, there is some crossover between the radical direct action wing of the queer movement and anarchism. And if you want to explore these ideas further, we've linked to the book fair at our website.
As you may have been aware, there's been a wave of homophobic hate speech in Australia ahead of the country's plebiscite on marriage equality. But some religious leaders in the Christian tradition are keen to point out that not all people of faith are bigots. Australian Christians for Marriage Equality has brought together a variety of Christian groups, including representatives of the Roman Catholic, Anglican, Quaker and United Church of Christ, to argue in favour of equality before the law.
Tributes have been pouring in from people as diverse as Nicole Scherzinger and Guardian columnist Owen Jones for the gay activist Dean Eastmond, who has died from a cancer called Ewing sarcoma. He was 21. According to Radio 1's Newsbeat programme, Dean was deeply influential as the editor of His Kind, an online LGBT magazine. A spokesperson for the Gay Men's Monthly magazine, Attitude, said that Dean faced his illness with bravery, strength and humour.
Radio Vaticana, that's the voice of the Pope in international politics, reported at the weekend that the former head of the Catholic Church in England and Wales, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, had passed away. The Guardian newspaper added that he had been suffering from cancer. O'Connor had been a supporter of the newly elected Pope Francis. However, as the BBC's obituary noted, he will also be remembered as a traditionalist who argued for exemptions from gay equalities legislation for Catholic adoption agencies, and who also spoke out against women's ordination in the Anglican Church.
North East Somerset MP Jacob Rees-Mogg is once again making news, with Sky News reporting on a very public backlash to his Conservative views on various social issues. Rees-Mogg has been tipped as a possible future leader of the Conservative Party, but even many loyalists of the party are concerned that he is, to quote the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, wildly out of touch with the British public on marriage, equality and abortion, which he opposes even in cases of rape and incest. In the past 24 hours, a campaign Twitter hashtag, Mogmentum, has been flooded with homoerotic images and same-sex couples kissing by thousands of Twitter users in response to Rees-Mogg's views.
And finally, Bristol Lay DIY Fest is back in November. That's Lady Fest, taking place in the South Bank Centre in Bedminster. All self-identifying women are welcome at a weekend of workshops and arts emphasising the grassroots achievements of women and girls. Look out for bands, discussions and the visual arts.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Matthew Tosh.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. For me.
That's a Lala Hathaway and You Were Meant For Me.
It was very chill. I like that.
Yeah, it was because I got a song coming up later for you. When I was listening to it, I was like, oh, I kind of quite like this type of music. So and you know the way iTunes and the like, when you've got a song, it's like, other people bought this type of song as well. And I played loads of them, and I heard that one. I was like, oh, I quite like that. I'll stick that in the show as well. So,
I mean, I would like to say that, as far as I'm concerned, the 2017 version of, like, kind of going into a record store, a cool record store, and being recognised by the person is, in my opinion, when you're on Spotify or AN other music player, and it starts recommending you really cool music that you already know, but you know is really cool. Like, for example, Spotify said, based on my listening history, that it thought I would be interested in Pink Floyd, and I was like, yes! I'm obviously giving the internet and the computer a good impression.
There's a really good Pink Floyd tribute act that tours America. I saw them, that they've got stuff on YouTube of when they performed in Phoenix in the middle of the desert. And they might as well be Pink Floyd, and they're actually endorsed by Pink Floyd as well. That's how good they are.
That's pretty cool.
And, they did the whole thing. You know, one of the songs got all the children singing "We Don't Need No," blah blah blah. And they actually got all the local school kids to come on and sing it. It was amazing. And it's on YouTube now. If you Google Pink Floyd tributes, I'm sure you'll find them somewhere.
I'll have to go down the internet rabbit hole.
Now, you may remember, I say you may remember, it depends how long you've been listening, but we have been following a lovely couple called Sam and Sian, who we kind of spoke to before they were going into the whole journey of bringing up a kid and the like. Well, Harriet's now 1 year old, believe it or not. So this is kind of the catch-up to the story. And Steph very kindly caught up with them recently. Have a listen to this.
It's an absolutely glorious day here in Bristol, and guess what? I've only bumped into Shan and Sam. They're in town, and I cannot believe that Harrier is one already. And how's that first year gone for you, Shan?
Tiring. I feel like I either need to sleep for 8 months or have a lot of coffee.
So it's the coffee option, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, but it tends to be cold by the time I get to drink it.
Sam, how's the year gone for you?
Yeah, it's just mind-blowing that it's a whole year away already that she was born. And
it is quite scary, isn't it, the way time has gone so quick?
Oh, crazy. And, like, you see her walking around now, 1 year old, and you think, how's she even walking already? She's not a baby anymore, you know.
When does she start walking?
About 11 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 11 months. She took a few steps, didn't she? But then sort of, no, I'm not ready yet. And then just got up and walked.
How's her vocal cords?
she's quite vocal. We've got a few words already. Obviously, words we understand, not words that everybody understands. But, you know, she's getting there. She's getting there.
What I like as well, she's busy watching Moana, is it? The Disney cartoon.
Oh yeah, the songs from there you can play over and over again, and she just dance.
So I think if only this was telly. She's dancing. She does a nice, like, toe lean forward, doesn't she?
Yeah, a sort of bum jig, I suppose.
How about her food? Is she eating what you're eating now?
Everything. The only thing she won't eat is parsnips. Like, everything else that kid will eat, like, there's no tomorrow. She will eat it all.
So what's she having for breakfast? It wouldn't be peanut butter on toast, her favourite, would it?
Yeah, she does like peanut butter on toast. Obviously, she has a fruit as well, like her blueberries and her mango she loves. But yeah, she can get peanut butter on toast, that's it. She's there, she loves it.
I think I was brought up on peanut butter and toast since about 6 months old. Who's looking after her at the moment? So you took turns, didn't you, for maternity leave?
Yeah. So Sam was off first. So the last time we spoke, I was just taking over one night, going back to work. No, you were going back to work. I was going to be at home with her.
How did that go?
It's so much more work than I thought. But I think we both appreciated that we knew what it was like to be at home with her all day and having to think, oh, I've got to get the housework done and the meal cooked and everything like that. And it's like, no, you are not coming home to a tidy house and your meal cooked. Like,
so you were getting some payback.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like, I think you've only got so much time in the day, and it's more important to spend time with her. And then when she's asleep, we do what we call zhuzh. We zhuzh through the house, and then it's done. Do you know what I mean? You do it together instead of leaving one doing it and then the other. But I'm back working now. I've been back 3 months, but I work around Sam. So I work.
Oh, that's good. So you've got flexible time, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I'm down as a flexi worker. So I just work on a Tuesday that she gets off, and then she works every other weekend. So I work a day every other weekend. But it means that we don't get any time together.
That's kids, I guess. What was it? Was it a shock to the system, Sam, going back to work?
Oh, it was a lovely break.
Nice one. You can see why she's angry and left the house dirty for you. Oh, ouch. Well, the thing is, I expect she'll soon be old enough to make your dinner for both of you.
Well, she helps out with the dishes, doesn't she? And the washing. Her favourite toy in the kitchen is putting the washing on.
What sort of toys does she play with now?
She likes anything like her building blocks. Loves a bit of building blocks. She's got like a ball pool. She sounds a bit spoiled, but she's got like a little playroom. So we don't need 3 bedrooms in our house. So one of the bedrooms has been turned into a playroom. So she's got like a ball pool and that in there. She likes that, doesn't she?
Are you quite free flowing with her toys? You don't foist her gender stereotypical toys on her. Do you let her lead on the toy front?
Oh yeah, I went out to go get something the other day, and this woman was like, "Oh yeah, we've got like a horse version of this. So that's pink and it's princessy." I was like, "That's all right. She'll have the car garage. That's what she wants." And it was like, "Oh," and it actually confused her for a boy, because we get that a lot, because we don't put her in overly pink girly clothes all the time. But Sam likes to give her a choice. So some days are a bit questionable what she wears. Do you want this or this? And she'd just say yeah to anything. So she does go out in whatever she wants sometimes.
I think it's important that although she's so little, she still should be allowed choices, though. Mm. So I don't have to inflict on her. I offered her a pink jumper or a denim dress that had a little giraffe on it, and she went for the denim dress. So
yeah, that's good, I think, isn't it? Letting them... Yeah, there was some good series on the BBC the last few weeks, one on the brain and one on bringing children up in a gender-free environment. And it did show that the boys initially are very roughy-toughy and think they can't cry, and the girls think the boys are the strongest and they're going to be successful, and the girls aren't. So they proved in a way that bringing your kid up gender free and having confidence in themselves is better for when they get into adulthood.
See, I think I'm quite rough and tumbly with her anyway. I think you sort of turn away at some points when you sort of think, oh my god, don't do that with her, don't throw her up in the air. Oh,
do you get nervous, Sam, do you?
I never thought I would, but there's something deep down inside my gut that just takes over when I see her throwing her around a little bit and playing with her, and I think, okay, that's fine. But then at the same time, we need to make sure that she's,
I guess that's just a natural mummy protection thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, it's been great catching up with you both, and we'll speak in another 6 months, hopefully. Thank you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
There you go. That one's especially for Ella. That's called Groovy People by Lynn Fidmont. It just kind of seems a bit fitting, really.
I am slightly overwhelmed. Definitely not crying. That's not happening. Obviously.
We have minutes left.
Yeah.
And there are so many people in the studio. I mean, for the listeners at home, we just want you to know we have such a big shout-out family today. It's a very nice thing. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Well, we do have a big shout-out family anyway. Just not always in the studio at the same time. A lot of people working behind the scenes as well on every show.
It's true. I'm illustrating a classic logical mistake. It's kind of like my favourite thing about when people talk about bisexual people and they say, oh, you're in a relationship with a woman, so you're not bi, you're gay. And I'm like, well, you know how a werewolf, when it turns into a wolf, it's still a werewolf, and when it's a man, it's still a werewolf, or when a sofa bed is folded out, it's still like a sofa bed, even if it's a bed.
No, you can't compare it to a sofa bed.
You can't compare it to a werewolf, though. I think
it's
quite groovy, isn't it?
I think that's a groovy analogy.
Werewolves and unicorns.
Now, listen, tell us what you're off to do.
I am off to do a master's degree in radio at the University of Goldsmiths in London.
There was
go
there.
Ella,
watch out London.
But you see, you've been a huge part of Shout Out, and it's been lovely having you here. And from all of us, there's someone take a photo because we're going to need it for Facebook. There's a little something that we would like to give to you.
I thought you told me that I wasn't supposed to be crying.
For the listeners, there's a lovely little bunch of flowers that Ella's got.
Really going to miss you when you've gone. So you must promise us that when you're back this way, you're popping in, come say hi.
Of course I will. You couldn't keep me away. You really couldn't. And I brought chocolate chip muffins. They're not quite as lovely as these flowers, but hopefully we'll appreciate
them. Well, apparently they've got a lot of sugar in. You were saying, off air. But did I hear right? It was a muddle up between a tablespoon and a teaspoon.
Okay, a little bit of advice to everyone who's listening who wants to do radio things. Please be aware that if you have a conversation off air, it might be pulled onto the air by your co-presenter.
Oh, sorry. Am I embarrassing you?
I mean, no, it's fine. I might as well share it now. No, the recipe said scatter a tablespoon of sugar over the top of the muffins, and I was like, that seems like a lot, so I went with a teaspoon on each one.
Oh okay, fair enough.
That's all right.
Right, so be prepared for sugar overload, everyone.
Just try some of the muffins as well, clearly.
No, this is natural, unfortunately.
It does pay though. How are we going to cope without your hyperactivity on a Shout Out show?
I'll just send you measured
doses. It's infectious.
Oh, I'm flattered.
So what's been your best bits?
Oh my giddy aunt. Well, I was saying to Steffi there was a point that was very much not approved of by Shout Out Production Towers, where we sang at the end of the show. That was pretty fun. I really enjoyed that. And I wasn't here for this, but 2016's Christmas show I listened into because I had a cold, and that was one of the best things ever, because also I kind of knew the faces, and I could hear you all like arguing with each other about who was looking stuff up on Google, so that was quite fun. And obviously talking about history and gender identity and just generally working with these wonderful people doing events.
It has to be said, your history has gone down an absolute storm. We're hoping that we're going to have an Ella History podcast at some point.
Oh, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, no, actually, that may be in the works. Maybe I'll come back to talk to you about that one day. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Shout Out is the place where I get to talk about bisexual sword-fighting French women. So this is basically my home.
My favourite was the one on Shakespeare.
Oh, well,
we did. I never knew Shakespeare was bisexual.
Guest starring Matthew Tosh.
Oh, we had the sonnet, didn't we?
Yes, yes, that's right. Yes. Do you remember any of it? Put you on the spot.
No, I can't.
That
was read so well, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. That was Shall I Compare Thee to Summer's
Day? I seem to remember we all kind of paused because it was very sexy as well, didn't we? We all kind of like, I say, Matthew.
Well, we had to take a moment and say that if Shakespeare wrote over 150 love poems to a man, can we really say he's straight? Because I mean, I do that with all my straight friends, obviously. No, it's been fun. I enjoy being both tolerated and entertained by all of you.
Tolerate. We don't just tolerate you. We
accepted,
love you.
Accepted, Ella. Accepted.
Now, we've got about 10 seconds left. So, do you want to put your flowers down and pick your script up?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready? We don't normally count this down.
Yeah, I feel like the pressure's on now.
Yeah, everyone look at Ella.
Get it right.
Anyway, that's it for this week from our brand new home here at Eastern Community Centre and Ella's last ever show with us.
Sad times, but remember, if you want to get in touch, you can do so via our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're talking to ACT UP, but from myself and the rest of the team to Ella. Everyone, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.